ABC Radio Darwin.
Look, I think up here in the Northern Territory, some of the jobs that would be in that category is shift workers. We're all aware of the IMPEX project out there and the long hours that those guys can work. Obviously, the mining industry with the FIFO type work that you have, but even down to paramedics and police who work shift work, or nurses, and defence. You know, you've got a lot of defence up here and people who are deployed, or the army especially. These long periods of time where husbands or partners are away, especially during the dry when you're supposed to be able to have fun and get out and do things together. So I think a large amount of the population up here sort of falls into a category where their lifestyle is challenging for a relationship.
And I think sometimes we fail to acknowledge the military when we talk about FIFO work, and that's really an extreme example of it, isn't it, when people are away for such extended periods of time.
Yeah, absolutely, because it's different to deployment. But I think with defence, there's a much larger sense of community. There's a lot more supports in place. There's the DCO and the defence family liaisons. They've got a lot more things in place to support those families. Whereas when you're working for a private corporate company, that sense of community isn't really there, and those supports aren't necessarily there either.
So what are some of the strains that these types of jobs place on relationships in the Territory?
I think the first thing is sleep is the biggest issue, and it's unfortunately totally undervalued because we can get it when we want it. We don't have to pay for it, but yet we don't do it. So
sleep we're talking about.
Sleep, absolutely. Sleep. It is very important. So that's one thing is for people to learn how to manage sleep, make sure they're getting enough sleep, and to recognise when they have less capacity to deal with any issues because they are tired.
So let's talk about in an intimate relationship. Mm. What happens when one or two of the people in that relationship are tired or are sleep deprived?
Well, generally, you'll find they have a lack of sexual desire. You know, that kind of goes out the window first. Because they're tired, they'll be in a state of stress physiologically, which usually then translates to a state of stress psychologically. And that sort of sexual desire for pleasure, not for procreation, sort of falls away, and we have to make sure that we nurture that.
And what about when it comes to just the nurturing of relationships, aside from the physical intimacy, what are some of the impacts when people are sleep deprived?
Well, I think you have less capacity to want to engage with your partner. And so we find these days in an age of technology, people are tending to go to devices or sit on Facebook or watch TV or, anything to not have to engage with their partners, because takes something. It takes effort to be able to do that, to be present with your partner. So we do the easy way out. So we cop out and say we're tired, or you're both sitting in bed looking at a blue screen. You tend to disconnect.
What do you do about that lack of sleep? How do you manage to fix that in our busy, hectic lives?
Well, I think, a lot of people think that they can do better than what they're actually doing. So we do tend to adapt, and I've seen so many people saying, oh, no, I'm fine on 4 hours of sleep a night. No, you're not. You're not fine on 4 hours of sleep a night. It's not humanly possible. You've just adapted to how bad you feel. And that's become your new normal. So, look, sleep is a big thing. I know partners really go to extra lengths to try and make sure that when, guys are coming off night shift and they're sleeping during the day to try and catch up, that they take the kids out. Or, families generally have quite good coping mechanisms on how to deal with these things. What you find is that there's the underlying current of what that means for the relationship. And so you have the person who's doing the hard work, who thinks that they're worse off because they're working so hard and feel terrible and paying all the bills. And then you've got the partner who thinks that they're worse off because they're having to deal with the kids and do the housework and nobody's ever there for a birthday. And so they tend to disconnect and divide, and it becomes this competition of who's worse off. The tit for tat.
What about the different challenges that those people in that couple face? The person who is working away or working the long hours, and the person that's not, the person that may be at home more of the time. What are some of the different struggles that they come to you about in terms of the connectedness of their relationship?
Well, they tend to find that communication starts to break down, and they start to lose focus on what each other's needs are. And if we're meeting each other's needs, nobody needs for anything, but you've actually got to know what they are. And so generally you'll find the person who's working away a lot says, well, there's nothing I can do about you needing me there more. This is just our life, okay? So then we just don't address it. We don't talk about it. It just is. We must just suck it up and get on with it. And that doesn't always work. So if you can't meet that need, what is a negotiated way that you can be there in some way or compromise in some way? And that's kind of what we talk quite a lot about. The person who's left at home, you know, they need – it does take a village to raise – children, or it does take a village to be happy in a relationship. We've got to look at the fact that this partner cannot be everything, cannot be your psychologist, your best friend, your lover, your cook, your, you know, mechanic. We can't expect our partners to be everything for us. So where can you get some of your needs met elsewhere, which isn't going to affect the safety of the relationship?
What do couples need to do in the time that they have together away from the kids, in the limited little narrow sliver of time that they had, that may be at the end of the day and maybe at the start of the day? What do they need to do in that time to connect?
I try and avoid some of those big cliches like you need to organise date nights and all that sort of thing. Yes, those things are important, but unless you've got the ground foundation, the foundational stuff ticking over nicely at home, you're actually not going to go to the effort of organising date night. Excuse me. So at home, honestly, you need 8 minutes a day to connect for children and for partners. If you think about in the time that it takes to make a coffee, if you were standing in the kitchen hugging during the time the kettle was boiling, that would be such a connecting great moment. We look for connecting rituals with partners, walking the dogs together, you know, sitting and having a cup of coffee and talking about the highs and lows of the day before you move on and do other things, turning the laptops off, turning the TVs off so that you've got some of that time. And the more that you do it, the more you get out of it, and then the more you're motivated to do it again. It's about getting into a bit of a routine of your rituals of connection.
Can you do the 8 minutes all at once?
You can do the 8 minutes all at once. Absolutely. With kids, you find it as well. You know, they're always at you, always at you. And then you actually sit down and you give them your full attention for 8 minutes. They'll be saying, okay, can I go now? Because they've had enough. So I think we kind of think that this is huge mountain that we have to climb to reconnect. It's not. We just do it in small steps and small bits, and that's what counts.
Not enough time together, spending time and making the effort to reconnect. I think these are probably some of the expected challenges for FIFO workers and shift workers. What are some of the unexpected challenges?
I think it's the stuff that people don't talk about, and that really comes down to intimacy. So it's the things that generally couples don't talk a lot about, their intimate relationships, and it's a lot to do with the fear of judgment. The last person we want to be judged by is our partner. And so the conversations sort of die there, and then we tend to find that people have secret worlds. And especially when you're spending a lot of time apart, you're feeling lonely, or you're feeling that you're not wanted or desired enough. And so these secret worlds pop up, whether it's through, you know, people accessing things online. And that really just starts to drive a huge nail in the coffin of that relationship.
When people are living secret, or not just separate lives, but secret lives with secret worlds, how do you solve that problem? Is it something where a third party like yourself is needed, or is it something that couples can manage to work through themselves?
I think a lot of the times people, it would be helpful to have a skilled third party person there, because it's not about telling you what's right or wrong, or what you need to do, because in the history of the world, nobody's ever taken advice. You're still going to do what you want to do. But what our jobs are is to actually provide you with some tools to say, here are some tools, put them into practice, and then see if you have any change there. A lot of times people just don't have the tools, because there's this assumption that relationships should just work. If it's too hard, it's obviously not the right person for me. And if we're not having sex, then obviously I don't love him anymore, or I don't love her anymore. And that is not the case.
On ABC Radio Darwin and the Northern Territory, Nina Boyson is a couples counsellor in Darwin. She's your Monday's expert, specialising in sex and relationships, FIFO work, shift work, some of the relationships that really experience challenges here in the Northern Territory. But can we talk a little bit about how liberal or not liberal Darwin is when it comes to sex and relationships? Because we love the idea that in the territory we're laid back, we have this easygoing lifestyle. Is that reflected in our attitudes around intimate relationships?
Oh, I love everybody saying we have such an easy laid-back lifestyle, yet everybody's stressed and freaking out. So I don't know where this easy this lifestyle is. I mean, it's beautiful to look at the palm trees and have these perfect days. However, is that translating to your actual life?
Do we have liberal attitudes or not in the Northern Territory?
I think we like to think that we do. We like to think that we're liberal and leading this awesome life that nobody else down south, this is the secret club. But the fact is as well, people are terrified of running into people they know in Darwin. People are terrified of reaching out and really, you know, being out there in wild because you're going to turn the corner and you're going to see your mother-in-law or something. So I think there's a push and pull of would like to be more liberal and way out there, but then I think also Darwinites do tend to have some traditional values, traditional Australian values, which you know, we see come out quite often. I don't think they're as into healthy relationships and healthy sex lives as they'd like to think they are.
You've lived around Australia and around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Where are people most liberal?
I would have to say in Europe. Look, I think people are doing wild stuff all over the world. I mean, there's something for everybody. However, the people where it's been most integrated in society and into the way of thinking and into education for children, is absolutely Europe. The more Nordic countries, Sweden, Belgium, those sort of Germany.
And what does that mean? Does that mean that they are more adventurous physically? Does it mean that different sexualities are more easily accepted? Does it mean that people have more relationships that look more varied than what we're used to?
Yeah, absolutely. I think because it's spoken about more, it's on topic more, it's normalised more. And so understanding that there's so many variations from the norm and that's okay. So polyamory as a relationship is really growing as a popular thing at the moment, that we're finding people are preferring polyamorous or non-monogamous relationships. And I think there is I think the people in Europe do tend to understand pleasure more, and they do tend to give themselves permission to incorporate that into their lifestyle as part of their well-being.
And how does that impact relationships? Does it mean that all relationships in Europe are much stronger because of this, or do these liberal attitudes also bring with them some specific relationship challenges?
I think absolutely. It's an individual thing and it's very much a values-based thing. But what you might find in Europe is that the sex and sexuality side of relationships isn't as much of a taboo subject as it is here, or it doesn't cause as many issues as it does here, because it is part of the discussion.
On ABC Radio Darwin and the Northern Territory, Nina Boyson is your Monday's expert. She is a couples counsellor. She is an expert in sex and relationships. And look, just, I guess, scraping the surface of some issues that confront couples here in Darwin. Nina, it might be nice to get you back in a month or so to talk about some other stuff that might be affecting people's relationships in the Northern Territory.
Get people talking. That's what we want to do.